We're here today with Mr. Kamiz Nafisi, founder of Nashat Zendegi. He is a poet and a spiritual healer with workshops around the world. We're pleased to have him on the show today. Mr. Nafisi, thank you for being here.
It's nice to be here. Wonderful to speak to your audience. My name is pronounced Kamiz Nafisi, and I'm the founder of an international wellness and meditation society called the Joy of Life Organization. It's www.joyoflifeorganization.com. The Persian name is Nishat Zendegi. My life began on a very different track. I received an MBA from a branch of the Harvard Business School. Later on, I got a second master's degree from Columbia University in Manhattan and became involved in international banking on Wall Street. And all the while being a bit alienated from my own true nature, which was one of a poet and philosopher. So at some point in my life, I divorced the Wall Street life and purchased three white kurta pajamas and moved to Maharishi International University in Iowa and went into 2 years of deep silence in meditation. And I adopted a practice of following the breath deep within me, and within 2 weeks, I realized that focusing the mind on the movement of the breath was having these extraordinary effects on me physically, spiritually, and emotionally. What happened was waves of energy started going up my spinal column, and it affected my creativity and mind in the sense that something like 300 poems flowed out of me within a year, and my physical energy went up dramatically. My sense of optimism improved vastly. My concentration became very, very deep. And all of this as a result of an 1800-year-old science called Kriya Yoga. Kriya Yoga, which is one of the things that I teach at Joy of Life, is the science of visualizing that you're breathing into various body parts. And as you visualize that you're breathing into a particular part of the body, the breath actually goes to that part. And following the breath is an invisible life force, which in the world of yoga, they call prana. In China, they call it qi, the Japanese call it ki, and the Christians sometimes call it the Holy Spirit. The theory behind this is that when you breathe, you're not just bringing in oxygen, you're bringing in something much more subtle, which is actually a life-sustaining spiritual force, which is what's actually keeping your body alive. In any case, after about 2 years of deep meditative silence in Fairfield, Iowa, I moved back to Manhattan and started this organization called the Joy of Life Organization. And after a 26-year absence from my native country of Iran, I went back there. From there, the Joy of Life Organization spread to Sri Lanka, New Delhi, India, Montreal, Canada, and five U.S. cities, plus Sweden and Geneva, Switzerland. So now we have thousands of students. The three bases of the Joy of Life Organization are the science of Kriya Yoga, second, a set of very good international friendships between students around the globe. It's non-religious, non-political. It's focused on self-growth and development. So the good friendships, the Kriya Yoga, and the third foundation is a kind of psychology which says, forget the events that happened to you. Adjust your perception of what that event meant. So if you can adjust the perceptions, you'll get over life's hurdles much faster than trying to go back to the past events to try to digest the event.
That's very interesting, Mr. Nafisi. Just listening to you, one thing that stood out for me specifically was learning that you went to Harvard and you come from a pretty educated background, but you chose to leave your professional life as a banker, as someone in the financial industry, and pursue a different lifestyle. What I'm interested to know is, was there a significant event in your life? Was there something that happened that triggered that transition from that lifestyle into a new one? And if you could elaborate more on that.
In my 25-year experience of working with myself and thousands of students, I find that the typical human being, especially the growth-oriented human beings, they reach a point in life where the ego, the me, the one with the social security number and the passport, that ego hits rock bottom. The reason is that I believe you have three selves. The most beautiful, spontaneous self is you, let's say, from the age of birth to the age of five. You're spontaneous, in touch with your true emotions, know who you are, very much living in the present moment. On top of that beautiful self, then there's a hurt self. The hurt self comes about when a particular incident happens and you happen to gather a negative perception about what just happened. A very simple example. You're in grade school, they put braces on your teeth, you laugh the first day of school when you go in with the braces, somebody laughs at you, and you decide that you're ugly or worthless. That is a perception. That's not the utter truth. So sitting on top of the beautiful self is a second self, which is the hurt self. And then on top of the hurt self, you usually put on an impressive self. This is years after you're a CEO, let's say a Harvard MBA with your BMW and your Italian suits. So now we have three selves sitting on top of each other. There's a beautiful child within, your authentic self. There's the hurt self. And then there's an impressive self. It's like a sandwich with three layers. If you want to find your core power, as Mahatma Gandhi did. Mahatma Gandhi went to England, started taking foxtrot classes, wore three-piece suits. That was his impressive self. The hurt self was a Mahatma Gandhi, or a Gandhi, Mohandas Gandhi, who was a very shy, alienated, inconfident person. And below that was a very playful child who had a very beautiful relationship with his mom. So if you want to reach your core power, you need to slice through three layers: your impressive self, your hurt self, and your spontaneous child self, who's holding the actual power, because those are your oldest emotions and your core values. What happened with me, I woke up in Wall Street one day and I had become totally alienated to who I really was at the inner child level. So that's why I resigned. I decided to go back to my core self.
Mr. Nafisi, I was wondering if you could elaborate more on your philosophy, perhaps dig a little deeper into the message and the overall perspective of Nashad Zindagi and the work you do, and give us some more in-depth analysis of the program.
Nashad Zindagi, or the Joy of Life organization, again, it is structured around my own personal journey as I started to come closer to the song of my heart instead of being alienated in a lifestyle that wasn't me. So my own journey actually built the structure of the Joy of Life organization. The journey is based on three foundations. Number one, as you start to work on yourself as a human being, the fact that you have a support system, kind people, good people who are also working on themselves, that support system will help you greatly, because the journey of self-transformation can become very lonely sometimes. And just the fact that you have a few friends who understand why you're working on yourself, that community can really help you. So that's one of the foundations at Joy of Life, is that we have thousands of people from around the world becoming friends and sharing this journey of self-transformation. The second foundation is Kriya Yoga, an 1800-year-old science that says coming in with the breath is this vital life force, chi, ki, Holy Spirit, prana. These are just names. It is something more subtle than oxygen. And when this life force comes into your body and becomes enlivened in 72,000 energy channels called nadis, you will feel notable changes in your physical existence. Energy shoots up, a lot of creativity, optimism, lots of patience in your relationships. People who've had years of sleeplessness suddenly start to sleep like babies. Many, many diseases are cured, like migraine, headaches, chronic backaches. I've witnessed all of these things being cured through the science of breathing. Imagine this, your very oldest friend is the one that begins with the first inhalation and ends with your last exhalation. That oldest and best friend of yours is the breath. It is the carrier of the God force. The third foundation, other than good friendships and Kriya Yoga, is a kind of psychology that says the following. Now, listen carefully to the steps here. Number one, an event happens in your life. That's number one. Number two, right after the event happens, you gather a perception of what happened. Now, the problem with perceptions is they happen within a second, and you could be 9 years old, like somebody laughing at your braces, for example, or in high school, the wrong person asks you out to the prom. The event is not so important as the perception that you stick onto that event. So then, first, the event happens. Second, you have a subjective perception of what happened. Third, as you keep reciting mentally that perception, the perception starts to turn into a core belief. A core belief is like a set of eyeglass lenses that are stuck to your eyeballs. You're viewing all of life through those lenses. The problem with beliefs, the third stage, is that then beliefs start to drive the fourth stage, which is your daily behavior. The fourth stage, your daily behavior, starts to create the fifth, which are your life results, and the sixth, which is what we call in America the self-fulfilling prophecy. What happens is you don't realize that as you start to view your daily life through a set of core beliefs, you don't realize that you are arranging the results and the circumstances such that you keep proving your self-fulfilling prophecy to yourself. What I mean to say by all this talk is the following. If we want to heal you right now very quickly, we forget the events because those are gone. The future is unknown. Your past is gone. Let's forget the event. We take you back to how you perceive that event. And if you change the perception around that event to something more constructive, you can heal very, very quickly, especially if you combine it with the calmness that the Kriya Yoga breathing brings. So the teachings of the Joy of Life organizations are the following. A good support group, international. Number two, a meditative breathing. Number three, forget the events. Start today, go out to Calgary, no matter what happens to you, forget what happened. Adjust the perception around that circumstance so that the perception serves you instead of it limiting you.
I like the fact that you talk about perception and how it can form your own way of not only seeing yourself, but the people around you. I'm sure everybody has had that experience at one point or another. One of the things that I want to focus on are the influences behind your philosophy, behind the science of breathing, behind this idea of perception. What were the influences, external influences that formed this philosophy and brought all of this together?
Basically, as I quit Wall Street, I threw everything I had into a Honda Accord and made my way from Manhattan to Fairfield, Iowa, which is a tiny town in the middle of Iowa. And there, the university, Maharishi University, was full of the Indian Vedic sciences, which are, the Vedantas are the oldest spiritual scriptures of the yogic philosophy. And as I started studying the Vedantas about a wholesome life, I realized that there are a lot of pointers and hints between the Vedantas and the most modern principles of quantum physics. I'll give you one example. I read a book called Spanda Kakrika. And Spanda Kakrika was a hint 5,000 years ago towards the fact that space is not dead or empty, that all of space is pulsating with an intelligent God force. And that pulsation at the subatomic level responds to human thought. Now, lo and behold, right after Albert Einstein, people like Heisenberg, Niels Bohr, folks like that, and most recently right now, the M theorists and the string theorists are saying exactly the same thing as the Spanda Kakrika. They are saying that space is actually reverberating with tiny strings of energy, and these strings of energy are high vibrating pulsations of an energy, I would say a holy energy, that is the creative force of the universe. And moreover, what people like Heisenberg and Niels Bohr found out is that this energy responds to human thought. You may ask how, and I will tell you that if you research the internet, you'll see that ever since the quantum physics experiments started, what the physicists are finding out is something extraordinary, which is the result of every quantum physics experiment is in correlation with the expectation of the scientist. In other words, the God force is a mirror-like force. It boomerangs your thoughts and intentions right back to you. So imagine you are living in a participatory universe. Your beliefs, your thoughts, your intentions go out into space and collide with a mirror-like creative force at the subatomic level, and you start to shape the events of your lives. So quantum physics and the Vedantas were what influenced me on this path.
Right before the interview, Mr. Nafisi gave me a piece of paper that has a list of tracks that are available on his CDs. And just browsing through them as I look at the titles, you tend to cover a wide range of spiritual and social issues on these tracks. Would you like to elaborate a little bit on these tracks and explain to our audience what they can expect?
I'd be happy to. I'll just quickly tell you about the course curriculum that the Joy of Life organization offers in various countries. And then I'll talk about some of these tracks. Number one, my organization offers a weekend workshops, which are a combination of Kriya Yoga meditation and the type of self-development or psychology that focuses on perception rather than past events. In other words, you get to change your perceptions so that you heal. That, in combination with deep meditation using the breath, has an extraordinary, quick, and fast, effective ability to get rid of the snags, so to speak, and bring up your energy. So those are the weekend workshops. And then I have a 30-day course. It's an internet-based correspondence course where we send you 30 life lessons. You live one lesson a day, and then we call you twice a week to see how you and your group are doing with the lessons. The nice thing about the online courses is that when you take it, you may have a classmate from Egypt, another one from Switzerland, three from Iowa, and one from Montreal, hopefully some from Calgary. The fact that this class is international and you're going through these self-development lessons together makes it very sweet. And of course, it's not just a correspondence course because we call you. Finally, there are monthly webinars where you're just sitting at home, you tune into the internet, and I give you an hour and a half talks on things like relationships, concentration of the mind, proper breathing, and so forth. Those are webinars that you can attend. For the Persian population, the Iranian population who speak Farsi, I have a collection of 36 talks on many, many life issues like marriage, healthy relationships, again, concentration of the mind, what true relationships, solid relationships should look like, how to surrender to some of the laws of nature. So the talks are spiritual / psychological about various facets of life. There are 36 of them. If you would like to stay in dialogue with me, there are two ways. Number one, I'm going to spell out my email address. It's Kambiz, that's K-A-M as in Mary, B as in boy, I, Z as in Zelda, _ Nafisi, which is N as in Nancy, A, F as in France, I, C as in Charlie, Y, at yahoo.com. The website name for the Iranians, you just spell out nishatzendegi.com.
I'll put it on Facebook.
Yes. And the other one is www.joyoflifeorganization.com. So everything's outlined there. Email me if you'd like, and I can give you more information on the courses and the curriculum.
Mr. Nafisi, within the next few minutes, is there anything else you would like to share with our audience?
This part of my talk may strike you as the spookiest, but perhaps it is a convergence of quantum physics and spirituality. What I want to tell you, based on my own experience and hundreds of students of mine who have seen the results, here's what I'm going to tell you. I believe the universe is made of energy, and the language of energy is waves and vibrations. In other words, our own God force, the creative force, is a pulsation. It understands frequencies and waves. If you as a human being come up with a tool that can harmonize your vibrational frequencies to fall into sync with that of the creative forces of nature, then you are in luck, because in a world of energy, if you and the creative forces are speaking on the same channel, then you can literally be the architect of the circumstances of your own life. There's a lot of empowerment in that. I see it in my daily life, how my inner state starts to manifest into outer results. Same with my students. The science of Kriya Yoga, by quieting down your brain waves from 14 cycles per second, the beta waves, down to the theta waves, which are 3.5 cycles per second. As your mind quiets down, the vibrational frequency of energies around your body start to go up to match that of the creative forces. When you and the God force start to vibrate and pulsate at the same frequency, you will be much more successful in manifesting your wishes. That's really the message that I go around.
Thanks again for joining us this afternoon, Mr. Nafisi. For anybody else who's interested in learning more about Nishat Zendegi and Mr. Nafisi's work, I will post the links and all the appropriate information on Radio GB's Facebook page. Once again, thank you.